Good morning, everybody. If you felt like it was a little bit awkward to hold hands during the song and the prayer, just wait for my sermon on greeting one another with a holy kiss. I have something else to talk about this morning. I'm just kidding. It's been a struggle sometimes, but I've been keeping up with the prayer commitment that I made at the beginning of the year to pray for everyone in this congregation at least once a week. These lists that I, at least I had them in the foyer. There's still, I think, some left on the black podium by the prayer request board in the foyer. I've got several of these at different places. I have one in my nightstand and one in my desk and one in my kid's bedroom. It was in my kid's bedroom. I don't know what happened to that one. I sometimes take one in my pockets when I go places, just so I have one available if I find a few minutes to pray, and I can pray for those next on the list. So everybody's in seven columns for each day of the week, and sometimes I miss a day, and I got two days to make up for. So it's been a struggle sometimes. But I'm glad that I made that commitment. It's helping me to do, as these passages exhort us. There we go. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit. As Christians, we are in the Spirit. We have God's Spirit. And so we have God's listening ear. We have His guiding, empowering, blessing, helping presence with us. And so He says, pray. In the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And so I want to do that. I want to pray for one another like we're told in Scripture. And when I pray for you, I try not to just list the names on the list for that day and then just ask God, you know, please bless all the aforementioned, you know, just generally. I try to bring each name before God. And as I bring your name before God, I try to think about you for a little bit and your specific needs. And I try to ask of God for the specific things that I think would be ultimately and spiritually good for you. Because you notice in the James 5:16 passage, that word translated earnest, or some versions will translate it as effective. That's a word in the original language, energeo, which is, we get our word energy from it. It usually means something like working or exerting energy, something like that. And so I think it's further qualifying the kind of prayer that can really accomplish much. It's not just a real quick, effortless, just kind of one-time general request sort of prayer, but it's like a working kind of prayer, like an exerting energy kind of prayer, like a prayer that you're putting thought and energy into. And so I like to try to pray for each one and really think about them and their specific needs. I think of passages like Romans 15:30 and Paul asked the Christians in Rome to strive together with him in their prayers for certain things. And that word strive there in the original, it's agonizomai. We get our word agonize from it. And it's to struggle, to strive, to wrestle, to fight. And so I kind of hear Paul saying, don't just send up a real quick one-time request for these things, but pray hard. Pray fervently, pray intentionally, put thought and put effort into it for these things. Colossians, okay, we're just a little delayed here, but it's working on the screen fine. Another passage, Colossians 4:12, where he tells the Christians in Colossae, their preacher, I think he was Epaphras, he says he's always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect or mature, fully assured in all the will of God. Same word, agonizomai. He's laboring earnestly. It seems like that kind of prayer, that's more like laboring, that you put more thought and effort into, it's all the more powerful. And so when I pray for each of you, I try to think of, you know, I pray for unique needs. If you're sick, try to pray about that. If you're married, try to pray about your marriage relationship. If you have kids, I try to ask God for patience for you and wisdom and help to raise your kids to know Him and trust Him. If I know what you're struggling with, I try to pray about that. But there's a number of requests that I've found that I tend to make for everyone. Because as I think of each one of you, these things come to mind as those things that would be really good for you and also honoring to God. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. Those things that I pray for all of us. My prayer requests for my church family. That's the lesson this morning. And I've got several of these that I find that I tend to make kind of for everybody. But I just selected four of them to talk to you about this morning. I thought maybe talking about these may help you to see that these really would be really good for you and maybe help you to be open to God helping you in these particular ways. And so number one, I pray that God will help you to be devoted to prayer. I have a suspicion that many of you are like, in relation to prayer, like how I was and how I still struggle at times not to be. And aside from little prayers here and there, when you really feel like you need something, prayer is something that you do when you don't really have much else to do. And so you don't really plan for prayer in your daily schedule and really make time for it, but rather it's more like, at least how I was, maybe some of you are this way, it's something you do after you get done all the things you've planned and your chores, you have a moment, and there's nothing really good on TV, well, then you decide, okay, well, I'll just pray for a little bit. And maybe you find that a lot of times you go to bed and you realize that you really didn't pray at all that day, and you feel like you should. And so you try to pray a little bit before you go to sleep, but you've probably found that lying real comfy in your bed is not the best posture for prayer. It's hard to pray very long that way, at least for me, and your mind drifts off. But my prayer is that we will be, one of my prayers is that we'll be devoted to prayer. Scripture talks a lot about it. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. To devote yourself to something means to make a serious commitment to it. It means to make it a top priority. It's to make it something that you fit into your daily schedule. You make time for it. You sacrifice something. If your schedule is too full for it, you may adjust your bedtime or your sleeping time to make time for it, like your job responsibilities that are a top priority, and you push other things aside for them. It's to make it that kind of high priority, and it's to persevere at it. It's to keep it as that kind of priority, not let anything else get in its way. That's to be devoted to something. And having prayer as that kind of a high priority, that was characteristic of that early church that you read about in the book of Acts. That church that spread Christianity throughout the world they knew in one generation. So like in Acts 1:14, after Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And so that's what they're doing, and it says they were continually with one mind devoting themselves to prayer. Then Acts 2 and verse 42, the 3,000 that became Christians in Jerusalem that were added to their number, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 6:4, the apostles say, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 12:5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God, and on throughout the book of Acts. Those are just some of the examples. You read of them praying, and praying and fasting, and praying, and you read about God responding, and guiding them, and empowering them, and delivering them, and using them to advance the gospel and His kingdom in the world. I'm learning by experience and by my study of the Scriptures how important that is. I'm learning how important that is for closeness with God, how important that is for spiritual growth, for keeping the right perspective and focus, how important that is for joy and peace, for building your faith as you see a big difference when you've been much in prayer versus when you weren't so much in prayer. It really builds your faith that God really does listen to us and He cares and He works. I'm seeing how important that is sometimes to receive God's help and blessing in certain ways sometimes. Did you know there are things that God requires us to ask Him for, and if we do not ask for them, we do not receive? That's what it says. James 4:2. You do not have why? Because you do not ask. And so, related to this request, I pray that we will see that we're not just talking to the air when we pray. The Creator, the Lord of heaven and earth, hears every word, even the feelings behind our words. That our prayers ascend like sweet incense to God. The book of Revelation says it's really pleasing to God. I pray that we'll see that that God cares for each one of us, and He actually lets us move Him to action by prayer. Draw power and blessing from Him by prayer. That He does and He doesn't do things contingent on our prayers. I pray He opens the eyes of our hearts to see what's happening when we pray. And that we will be devoted to prayer, and that we'll have that depth of relationship with God and all the blessings that come with it. Then here's another request I like to make for us. I pray that God will help you to delight in His Word. I know that for some of you, the only feeding on the Word of God that you do is what we're doing right here. Just this half hour on Sundays. And if that's the case, it's probably because you feel like that's enough. And that's all that you really have to have. And you don't enjoy very much the reading of God's Word or Bible class or reading or listening to the teaching of the Word online or elsewhere. You don't enjoy that as much as you enjoy many other things. Maybe it's your TV shows or reading the newspaper or fixing up your yard or whatever it is. But I pray that you will enjoy learning the Word of God like you enjoy a delicious meal and far more than you enjoy TV and reading the paper. I pray for you, related to that, the request of Psalm 119 and verse 34, that God would help you to understand His Word as you read it and as you hear it. Because I know it's hard to delight in His Word if you don't understand what you're reading. And so I pray God would help you with that, and He can do that. And I think as you come to understand His Word, you will love it, and you will come to delight in it. And I pray for the request of Psalm 119, verse 18, that God will open your eyes to see wonderful things in His Word. And I pray for those who teach in our Bible classes, that they will be well prepared for their classes, and that they will have lessons that are truthful and are edifying and that will really help people to delight in His Word and to see God's glory and His greatness and His goodness. And I pray for some of you that you will be able to make it to Bible class and you have your kids in classes. I pray that it will just be really important to you and a passion of your heart to see and understand more of who God is and His will and His plans and His promises and the things He wants us to know. That you'll be really longing for His Word and you'll want that for your family. And I've got many reasons why I pray that. You know, Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He's not getting his guidance and his values and his perspectives from the world, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. I want each of you to be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water and not like a little struggling sprout in the desert. In other words, Like that tree planted by water, I want you to be healthy and strong and stable in your faith and your relationship with God. And when the storms come, as storms will come, they will not shake you. And like that tree planted by streams of water, I want you to be fruitful, useful, not spend as much of your life in futile things for stuff that's only temporary, but productive and fruitful for God. And like that tree planted by water, beautiful in your character and prosper in all that you do. And the streams of water that will enable you to be so are the Word of God and coming to see all the things that God has revealed to us and He wants us to know. And so I pray that you'll so delight in it that you plant yourself firmly beside it. You're constantly absorbing it and being nourished and strengthened by it. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. I want your soul to be restored when it's discouraged. And I want you to gain wisdom for living your life in the best way. I want your heart to rejoice and your eyes to be enlightened. And I want you to find those insights that are more precious than nuggets of gold. I want you to be warned so you don't go in the wrong direction and rewarded by God to the greatest degree. So I pray that you will delight in the Word of God. And like newborn babies, 1 Peter 2, long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow unto salvation since you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Probably all of us, we've tasted a bit of the Lord's kindness and what we've come to know about Him and experience of His forgiveness. We've tasted a bit of it and we've found it to be delicious. But it's not like the samples at Costco where you only can get one. If you have kids, you know, you go next aisle over and send your kids to get you another one. That's digression. The kindness of the Lord, you can keep on tasting, you can keep on experiencing. You can just have as much as you want, and you experience more of the Lord's kindness as you grow through the Word, and you grow in His image through your study of the Word. And so I pray that you will long for it, like a baby longs for milk, and that you'll want to lead your families to do the same. Another prayer request I have is that God will help you to be zealous for good deeds. Now, I think if we were to line up all the population of the Flathead Valley in the order of doers of most good to doers of least good, or doers of most bad, you know, if it was in that order, I think probably most of us, if not all of us, we'd be in the top half, I think, of do-gooders, maybe top quarter, maybe 10%. I know many of you, you're good people compared to people in general. And I know if you found somebody stranded on the side of a highway in the middle of nowhere, you'd help them. You give a little at church. If there's somebody who needs a jump start to their car and you know how to do that, you'd help them. And you do good things for other people here and there. And I know that. And I, you know, related to this, I pray you stay encouraged in the good deeds that you're doing. But I pray that you be zealous for good deeds. One of the reasons that Jesus died for us was to make us the kind of people that are zealous for good deeds. Titus 2, 13 and 14 says that our great God and Savior Christ Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. You know what it is to be zealous for something? If you were zealous for, say, hiking in the mountains, what would that mean? Well, that would mean that you love hiking, right? You really enjoy that. You look for opportunities when you could get away for a bit to go hiking. You get excited. at opportunities to hike in new places or to go on a long hike, or you look forward to a day when you could spend a whole day and summit a huge mountain up in the park, and you're just passionate about hiking. And Christ died for us so that we would be the kind of people who feel that way about good deeds, who love to engage in good deeds, who take joy in serving and giving, who look for opportunities to do something helpful, to do something encouraging, to do something that's a blessing to other people and good for the church. And we're excited at opportunities that we have to really give and serve and help. And I pray that for us for many reasons. Oh, how about this verse? Remember, well, I guess that'd be a reason too. God loves a cheerful giver. He's really endeared to somebody who finds it fun to give stuff away to help. That's like zealous for good deeds and cheerful giver, and they really enjoy that. And I want that for us for many reasons, and I pray we see these. I so want the Lord to say to us, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. When, Lord, did we see you in any of those conditions and take care of you?" Paraphrase. "Truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And I pray we really understand 1 Corinthians 15:58. "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Unlike everything else we do, unlike all the stuff we do for earthly gain and status and comfort and pleasure, it's all vain. It's all for but a moment. There's no lasting value to spending our time and our money on our own earthly comfort. But every time you encourage somebody, every time you give to meet a need, every time you make a call, make a visit, give someone a ride, teach someone about God, do something that helps somebody to stay faithful, to come to know Christ better, volunteer to babysit, all those things, every time we're doing the kind of work the Lord's called us to do, that has eternal significance. That may help contribute to the salvation of a soul, but it'll also honor God, and it will be remembered forever and rewarded by God. Scripture speaks of that kind of stuff, giving and doing good deeds, is like storing up treasure in heaven. And the Lord will render to each according to his deeds. And I pray that we see that. As a good poet once put it, "Only one life to live, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how glad I shall be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee." And I pray we see that. I find in Scripture that the Lord can actually put thoughts into the minds of people to do good deeds. He can put thoughts of how they could do something helpful, and then he can stir their hearts. He can stir their spirits to do it. And I pray that kind of thing for us, that God would put into our minds good deeds and stir our hearts to be doing those. So these are some examples. "Lord stirred the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout his kingdom." That was the proclamations that any Jews in his empire who want to go back to the land of Judah and Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, they can do that. And God stirred his spirit to do that good thing. And then later in Ezra 1, the people who went there, it says they're those that whose spirit God stirred to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord. God stirred up their spirit to go build his house. In Haggai 1, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of that guy, Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And in Nehemiah, so later in the chronologically, the temple's built, And Nehemiah's time, Nehemiah says, I arose at night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And he's talking about rebuilding the walls and the gates of the city. And God put it in his mind and stirred his heart to be doing that. And I pray God will put into our minds those things that would really help us to build his house, to build his church. And he'd stir our hearts to be zealous, to be doing those things. And then one more request I want to talk to you about this morning. Pray God will help you to fervently love one another. And just listen to the emphasis that Scripture puts on this. And 1 Peter 1:22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls unto a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And I hear him saying, you know, as true Christians, you've obeyed the truth and you've purified your souls. I know you've already come to have a sincere love of the brethren. But I want you to fervently love one another. And that word fervently, from what it's translated from, the original word, means something like to stretch, to be stretched out. And so I think he's saying, however much you love the brethren, I want you to stretch yourself, push yourself further in your love for the brethren. And then in 1 Peter 4, above all, keep fervent, keep stretching yourself in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And then included in fervently loving one another, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Have people over. It's worth the extra dishes and a little expense to have brothers and sisters over, especially if they're struggling, discouraged, on the fringes. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, as each one's received from God some ability, resources, talent, something that can be used for the good of others, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. We can never love the brethren enough. Last passage. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are you at the point of laying down your life for the brethren? Or do you just attend church with them and shake the hands of a few? That wasn't the end of the PowerPoint, though, Carl. Just the end of the... Well, that's okay. There wasn't much important left. What are we talking about? Are we at that point of laying down our lives for the brethren? And my prayer is that you and myself will decide regularly that as the Lord Jesus laid down his life for me, I will lay down my life for his people as he wants me to. And not only because that would really honor the Lord, but there are people here who are struggling to stay faithful. And there are some people here who are lonely and depressed and discouraged. And there are some people here who have misunderstandings about what Christianity really is and about who the Lord really is. There are some people here who are on the fringes and we're about to lose them. There are some people here who are about to be settled down in complacency and lukewarmness, and they can't stay there. And it is too big of a job to help every single one in all the ways that they need to be helped for just the elders and a handful of others. We need everyone we can get who will be their brother's keeper, their sister's keeper, who will decide to make the welfare of the other souls here their concern, who will decide to take it upon themselves to get to know those here that they don't know, to build relationships with them, friendships with them, who will be here when they can, to get to know more, to encourage, to find needs that they can meet, who will serve, who will teach, who will counsel, who will mentor. We need everyone we can get who will reflect the love of Christ for His people, who will call, who will visit, who will invite over, who will go over. We need to fervently love one another from our hearts. I'm not interested in just doing church. I'm really not interested in just keeping you coming here and keeping the services going and just kind of maintaining the routine that we have going, because that's not our assignment from the Lord. Our assignment from the Lord, from what I understand, is twofold, but they're kind of just two sides of the same coin, kind of two ways of saying the same thing. It's number one, that each of us individually, personally, will become like Jesus, who laid down His life for the church and for building the church. And it is secondly, to help as many as we can, as much as we can, to also develop into the image of Jesus. And I pray that that will always be the passion of my heart and the passion of your heart, to become like Jesus and to help other people to become like Jesus. And Lord willing, I'm going to keep praying for every single one here at least once a week. And I'm going to pray that you'll be devoted to prayer and that you'll delight in God's word and you'll be zealous for good deeds and that we'll fervently love one another. Because, believe it or not, I actually love every one of you. And I want you to honor God as much as you can, and I want you to find the joy and the peace and the depth of relationship with God that I'm learning we can have. And I really think it'd be awesome to see each other in the new heavens and the new earth and reminisce about life on the old earth and talk about what we're going to do together for the next million years or so. I think that would be cool. So that's what I'm after. And that's what I want to live for and pray for. And I pray that that's the passion of my heart the rest of my days, and that that's the passion of your heart. And I hope maybe some of you will join me in praying for one another. And if you'd like one of those sheets, help us pray for each other. There, I think there's some left in the that black podium by the prayer request board. Let's stand and sing if we can help you to obey the Lord or pray for a concern.